Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today and hope this is going to be a good day for you. It's a good day for me because I've got two great, great professionals here, Dr. Alice Benton, Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good. It's great to see you, Steve.
Hi, great to see you, Alice.
Well, it's good to be with you guys, and you know, folks know that you've got a heart for God, and you've got a heart for the truth, and you've got a heart for hurting people, and that's all going to come together right here on New Life Live. Really glad you're with us today, and I hope and pray that something we say, you know, even though it might apply to somebody else, you're going to say, oh, I get that. I've got a friend I could tell that to, or that's kind of me in a different form. And it might be helpful in your particular situation with whatever it is you're dealing with. If you want to support us, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you have a problem with anything, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE because there are people there that really want to help. They come to work every day, and all they want to do is help you. Now, the only way we can do this is if you help us, and I hope that you will be supportive of us in whatever way possible. But right now, we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to go to Lynn from Los Angeles, California. She listens on the great station KKLA. Hi there. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Welcome to New Life Live. Yeah.
Thank you. I am calling because I've been married for 25 years, and just last year, I found out that my husband had an affair a year prior. Mm-hmm. So it was an undiscovered affair, and I found the evidence of it a year later.
Wow.
Since finding out about the affair, we've been to counseling, and some friends from our small group went with us and supported us. But it wasn't effective. He lied at least three times in regards to, well, he lied numerous times, but two times about having her number subsequently, and then after talking with the counselor and saying, okay, I can't do this because he's lying, and I'm afraid he still has contact with her. The counselor said there's no more contact with her. He really explained to him why it should be that way, that it should be cut off, and there should be nothing going on. Probably 4 weeks later into the counseling, probably like 2 months into the counseling, he emailed the young lady and informed me and wished her a happy birthday. Well, in the course of it, there's just been a lot of, you know, name calling from him. He's taken money out of our account. He threatened me if I leave that he would call the police and do things like that. He's threatened to, you know, tell people I want a divorce. It's been really, really difficult. And at this stage, I just don't know. There's three questions I have. One, do I separate or divorce from him? Because it is not getting any better. I don't think he's repentant at all, and I don't think he's truthful. But how will I know if he's repentant and truthful? And then, how do I and the children heal from all of this?
Okay. Well, let's go with the first one of, is he repentant? Well, I haven't heard anything repentant about the guy. There's only threats to you. That's not repentance. Do you really think he is in some way repentant?
No. I'll tell you what I have seen that is a little in that direction. Let me say this. After the counselor found out that he had emailed the lady he had an affair with, I think the counselor cut off communication with him. because he no longer went to counseling, and I asked him why. He said, well, I can't seem to get a hold of the counselor.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Dallas September 22nd to the 24th.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Sherry, I want you to start us off here. Help her with it.
Well, the first thing I would say, Lynn, is I want you to trust your gut. You actually sound like you have your wits about you. I like that. You sound like you're seeing pretty clearly. You're just confused about what to do with what he's doing. So really, what his decision about going back to church is sounds more like image management. He's concerned about his reputation. He's concerned about what other people think. But what he's not dealing with is the betrayal trauma and how he's hurt your heart. He hasn't even opened his eyes to that. I'm hearing more signs of denial, which is minimizing, blaming, threatening, justifying. So when someone is in that stage, they're denying what they did. They're not in recovery. They're not in repentance.
Okay.
They're not in any restorative, working on any restorative path. So you have the opportunity to ask him to enter into some steps in order to turn things around. Repentance means to go turn it around, to leave what you were doing. And he's not bringing his own path because he probably is not talking to anybody who's done it, right? He sounds very isolated. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to go to church. And then I'm going to let everything float over until she calms down. And then I'm going to act out again. That's not repentance, right? So,
right, not at all.
You can ask him to attend a workshop like Every Man's Battle because he has a history of cheating. He's a cheater. You can ask him to get into a 12-step recovery group, an SA recovery group, and a sex addiction recovery group. A 12-step says you can't have sex with anyone or yourself. It's like there's a clear boundary there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say you need to get into your own work right now with someone who understands betrayal trauma, your own therapy, because you need to start figuring out and making choices about a man who is posing right now. He's pretending that he has got his arms around this, but you and I both know it just goes back underground.
Right. And in all of this, like the details of the affair, I mean, he's just hidden so much.
Of course.
It's the details, and then you get the details and you give it to him, and he's like, oh, yeah, I've done that, because the other woman was very transparent in telling me. And it's I don't even know this guy.
I know. It's really about deception, right? It's intimate deception at its very core. But I want you to trust what you've found. I want you to trust the evidence. So often we try to figure out why they're doing what they're doing. The fact is, they're doing something wrong and they're hiding it from you. They know they're doing it. He knows when he betrays, but he covers it up. He's trying to keep his feet in two worlds, yours and his sexual infidelity place. And it doesn't sound like you're okay with that.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not at all okay with it, and I'm willing to do the steps. But here's the dilemma I have. Either decision that, that I make, there's going to be a lot of pain.
Of course.
To everybody.
I know.
There's going to be a lot of pain. I'm in a lot of pain because I'm here.
I know.
And I'm dealing with the deceit and the lies and just not living up to being truthful and taking responsibility for what he's done.
I know.
But if I leave, I have four beautiful children.
I know.
That I've approached this with, because this has been going on for a year and a half. And
I get
I knew.
It. So your first stage is to call him up. You've got to call him into a plan. You've got to ask him to do things that are going to get him into treatment.
And I've already done that. I've asked him to go back to counseling, and I said, well, if that counselor won't meet with you, find another counselor, and you need to find a support group for men who are dealing with affairs and adultery. And I've also asked him to be accountable with his technology. And he travels all the time, and he won't be doing that. He's actually leaving his job in January. But also to be accountable with his technology and his time.
Yeah. Well, I wish we had more time to go into every detail, but here's what we have time to tell you. He needs help, and you're going to have to come to a place of willingness to experience different pain if you want it to be better. And a lot of people die with half a relationship. But if they were at where you are, they mustered up the courage and support they needed. They might end up, and there's a good chance you can end up, in the relationship you always dreamed that you could have. But yeah, it's gonna take some risk and some pain.
So you're saying that see if he goes to, like, one of the conferences that you guys have, but if not, what's the next step?
You just tell him, you know what, given all this and the therapist won't even see you and you had the birthday call, the least you could do is go to that, and it would help you the most, and then you're not struggling with it. Do you really want to struggle? Do you really want to try to convince yourself it's better and then you just keep struggling? Go get it taken care of. It's the least you could do.
And Lynn, I want you to consider putting a time limit to it of how long you're willing to wait. And I think it should be a short amount of time to see him taking action.
Yeah.
I think you need to get a legal consultation to look into. I would recommend considering separation before divorce, because we're already hearing that he's upset with even the idea of you leaving him. He's making some threats against you, which is why I think you need to look into legal protection. But I actually see hope in that. I don't think he wants to lose you.
Yeah.
And so if he loses you through separation, it may wake him up to the reality of the consequences of what he has done, and it also may be best for you and your children. You asked, how can my kids and I start to heal from this? And you may need temporary separation to be able to get into that healing process. So one last piece I want to speak to, how do you know if a person is repentant and truthful? And you start to see fruit in their behavior that we're not seeing yet. And three signs I want you to look for in the brief amount of time I think you should give him before you take legal action is if he is taking responsibility for what he did, not blaming you or anybody else, and if he can express empathy for how, as Sherry pointed out, that trauma has affected you. And the last one, if he's willing to give you proof, outside proof, that he is changing, such as, here's the slip of paper that I went to the meeting and the signature that I got for it. Here's the name of the therapist that I got, and you have permission to talk to them. Those would be good signs of change. Otherwise, we get stuck in something called defensive hope, where we're just hoping and waiting that they'll make a move, that they'll make a difference. But then we're all getting stuck, children included, in the toxic environment. Mm. So I think you need to make a move soon, if he doesn't, for protecting yourself and your children.
Now, I want you to hold on, because I want to see if we can get you to the Restore Conference, whether he does anything or not. I think if you went there, you would leave with not only supportive relationship, but you'd leave there with the courage to do what needs to be done. The worst thing is for your children to see you enable this to continue
yes.
out of some kind of fear. And every fear you have is valid, it's justified. Oh, man, I wish this wasn't the case for you. I really do. Pray for her. I would ask, maybe there's some way we can get you to our intensive. It's coming up here this weekend in Dallas. I wish we could get both of you into that. And then he goes to Every Man's Battle. You go to Restore. But more than anything, whatever he does, there's a path that you can take. Not an easy path, but there's a path that you can take that could change everything for you. And we want to see you get on that path. So hold on, we're going to give you some help. Oh my goodness, I'll send you, take your life back, and I will send you worthy of her trust for you to give to him. Very, very tough stuff here. All right, we're going to go to David, Arlington, Virginia. WAVA is the station. David, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, great. I'm going to cover on here because I'm driving. So glad you got my call.
Okay. Ask us a question we can deal with.
Yeah, I got two questions. My son is 23 years old, and he started drinking alcohol and consuming marijuana like for about 2 years already. And,
okay.
I'm seeking for help to see what can we do. Here, I live in Arlington, Virginia, and I need help. We have talked to him, my wife and I, but he kind of just listens, but he doesn't follow the advice, our advice, mm-hmm. as parents.
Okay. And so what's your advice to him? What advice have you given to him?
Well, for example, any specialist that you can recommend us to take him.
Well, what advice have you given him?
That alcohol and marijuana, any kind of drugs, will hurt him, and he's just killing his life, killing his future.
Okay, but and he doesn't care about that stuff. He doesn't care about that stuff because it makes him feel better instantly. From the pain and agony of being supported and living with his parents at age 23, right?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again?
He doesn't care about the long-term effects of any of that. He's living with you. That's got to be painful for him. He's got to feel like a failure. He's not independent. He's dependent on you. And doing all of those things, it medicates that pain and all the other pains that he has. So have you told him that you think it's okay if he does that and he stays with you until he's 43, 53? I mean, what's the plan here?
Well, the thing, he dropped out of school like about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He is number three already. And
okay.
He's working, but he said he's going to go back to college, but still no effort showing.
Yeah.
So he's working, living with you, and regularly using alcohol and drugs?
Yes, ma'am.
How do you guys feel about him using alcohol and drugs under your roof?
No, he doesn't do any of this at home. Because we're Christians, and he was attending to the church every day with us since he was, was born, and...
So how do you know he's using? How do you know he's using?
Getting some other friends, out of church.
Right. How do you know he's using? What are you observing to even bring this information to us?
I got a brother of mine. He lives like 20 miles away from here, and he realized that he was doing that together with one of his sons. His son stopped from doing it, but my son hasn't. Yeah, and I discovered that I watch him, especially this week, and he was smoking, marijuana.
And David, why does your son live with you?
We have been supporting our kids to go to college, we're doing our best to help them out. He's the only one doing these things. The other three are focused on, you know, their school and college.
But are you afraid of him not being under your roof because you think it'll get worse?
Me particularly, no. My wife, yes.
So you're trying to control the uncontrollable while your son is using. And so it's not helping him heal, right? What would help him heal is for you to put some parameters down and say, hey, I'd like you to go with me to a speaker's meeting. It's an NA or an AA speaker's meeting. If you want to live here, we're okay to consider you living here for another period of time. And don't give them a period of time right now. Just say, but we're sorting that out right now. But in order for you to stay here, we need to have you attending these meetings regularly. And I'd like to go with you because I want to help learn about what you're doing with marijuana and alcohol.
And there's one in 30 minutes. Come get in the car. We're going.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Just talking about what David needs to do, and maybe Alice, you could just summarize what we think would be the best thing here for him, his wife, and the boy.
Sure, Steve. David, I want to start out with the fact that I specialize in working with Hispanic patients in particular, and so I can really understand the desire as a family to stay united and supportive of your children, even as they enter adulthood, and that there may be a difference between you and your wife and your beliefs about how long that should last. But it's such an important cultural value, but it can get in the way of the health and the independence of our children. So I want you to share this call with your wife to help her consider a few things, because I'm hearing some entitlement concerns on the part of your son that he may be taking advantage of the generosity of you and your wife. You have your children live with you so that you can support them and staying in school, and yet this is the third year that he has not been attending school. And so my suggestion would be a three-part plan here in addressing this with him. One would first to be acknowledge your part, that you and your wife may be playing a part in enabling his behavior behavior, and that you want to recognize, acknowledge that, and even apologize for it. That, son, maybe we haven't known how to handle this in the best way, and so we're looking into how to do this better, and I'm sorry that we haven't done this in the best way yet, so I apologize first for that. But we're also going to need some things from you, because we love you and we want the best for you. And one is, we need to see proof within a set amount of time, maybe a couple of weeks to a month, that you are seeking school, because that's why you get to stay here with us, to continue your education. But 3 years have gone by, so we're going to need to see proof that you are pursuing school, and as Sherry had previously said, also pursuing treatment. And son, I'm willing to go with you. Let's go to a meeting later today here. And the last thing for you and your wife to consider is that actually when we tolerate behavior like this, we tend to get more of the same. We receive what we tolerate. And I think this is one of Steve's verses that he brings up often, Proverbs 10:10. When we wink at evil, it just tends to exacerbate and it continues. It's almost like we give permission for it to continue by our behavior, even though our words say something different. So what will be so important here is putting into action what you will be saying to your son. Otherwise, the empty words will have very little effect over the long run. And I think this is the most loving thing you can do for your son. A book by John Townsend, The Entitlement Cure, gives you step by step and elucidates more how to do what we're talking here with you about.
You know, one of the things, it's obvious that the boy has a hard time doing the right thing that's going to create a good outcome. Well, if you don't do this, then you're having a hard time doing the tough thing and the right thing. And so by you doing the hard thing and your wife, you're modeling for him what he has to learn how to do to be successful. So we'll send you a copy of Take Your Life Back for him. It is a way, it's a path, and it's a proven path that can help him deal with this. And I hope and pray that something we've said has given you the courage, and your wife the courage and insight, to do the absolute right thing. All right, let's go over here to Kelsey from Gainesville, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hi there.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay, my question.
Yes.
My question is, I have a 21-year-old son who's addicted to alcohol and drugs, and
okay,
between my ex-husband and I, we've each kicked him out several times. We have finally agreed through trying to, I guess, co-parent this adult child of ours that it's time to detach physically, emotionally, and financially from him. He has been homeless for 10 days. He's been using since 14. He's been through rehab 30 days. Back in April, I even brought him to your Life Recovery Conference in Leesburg, and he was so angry, and this was after he got a rehab, that he wanted to leave after 2 hours, and all I could do was just pull Dr. Stoop aside and just kind of quickly tell him my story. He kind of just hugged me and affirmed that his anger was normal. But I am just heartbroken and at a loss for
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen to him. But I just kind of released him to God, and
mm-hmm.
I feel like we've done everything we can to give him an opportunity to turn his life around, and he's like, he's just rebelling, and he has this entitlement, and he doesn't care about anyone, which I know is the addiction. So you can help.
Well, I guess you heard the last call, right?
Yes, I did.
So, you know, we think you did the right thing. The tough thing.
Yes.
But
yes.
It doesn't make the tough thing easier.
No, it doesn't. And
but what you were doing, obviously, the research had been done. Nothing you had done caused anything good to happen for him.
Right.
So.
And Kelsey, it may be that these days of homelessness, even though it may stretch out who knows how long, and perhaps even imprisonment, may be the best gift you can give your son. I hear the grief and the worry over him. And of course, because you love him, but you are giving him such a gift in letting him suffer the consequences of his behavior. And I've worked with many addicts who said, when my parents finally left me in that jail cell, when they finally closed their doors to me, that was the only thing that was going to turn me around. And if they kept giving me another chance, I would still be using. I'm so grateful to them that they let me suffer the consequences of my own decisions.
Let me tell you, he knows that you did some things because it made you feel better. He knows you're doing this, and it makes you feel horrible. But it's because you really love him, and you're willing to endure that pain.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. We are back. And Alice, you want to finish up here? I mean, this is so tough for Kelsey. We talked at the break, Kelsey. Here, let me throw this out there. I think you got to look into the Salvation Army as a long-term treatment program if he does finally need to get help. Alice said it was safer for him to be in jail than out on the street. I've seen a lot of people begin recovery because they go to jail and they can't get anything mm-hmm. to use, and then that starts it. Salvation Army is a much better alternative than jail, and I've seen thousands and thousands of people get better because of that. But Alice, help her with whatever she needs to consider here.
Well, Kelsey, my biggest concern is keeping you strong in your grief and your worry about your son, because with such a tender mother's heart, I think it will be very difficult not to take him back in prematurely. And I think that Sherry's going to speak to this in a moment. But I want support and help around you so that you can stay strong in your decision to give this gift to him until you see change that will allow you to sort of loosen up the boundaries with him, and to be able to figure out what other ways can you be a support to him even while he is homeless and while he wants little to nothing to do with you.
Yeah, we were just chatting about your situation, you know, offline, and I was just saying it's like preparing for the prodigal, you know, looking in. Steve mentioned the Salvation Army and really getting your heart set, attending your Al-Anon meetings regularly like clockwork right now, and getting support. It's important because you almost have to prepare for the bottom. And so that when the bottom happens, you aren't scrambling and cutting short corners. He goes right from the street into treatment, and a longer term treatment. 30 days isn't enough. He's going to need something longer.
Right. That's exactly what I told him, and he actually texted me yesterday, and he texted. I'm a fitness instructor, so it was like this little joke thing, and he goes, "I thought that was funny, LOL." And I said, I texted back. I said, "I cannot joke with you. You're breaking the law." I said, "I have to detach from you." And then his response was, "Well, don't assume anything." And I said, "I'm not going to debate this with you." I said, "But if you can get back into long-term inpatient, outpatient, or daily meetings, working the 12 steps," I said, "each month, as you go through these steps, write me a letter." I said, "My heart will be waiting." Because when he was in rehab, he was just talking about the 12 steps, and I could see even his brain getting clearer.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. You stop that. But they need longer than 30 days. That's the deal.
I agree. And it was an insurance thing.
Yes,
I get it. And unfortunately, the best we could do was get him in a 3-day inpatient. And then when he was living with his father, I asked his father one day, "Is he still going?" And his father said no.
Okay, but that's why Steve brought up Salvation Army and their sober housing, their sober living.
Okay.
Yep,
there's things out there that are better than mommy and daddy's house.
Yep.
Right.
All right, I'm glad that you called. I hope that this is encouraging to you that you have done the right thing. But now you need to do a few more right things here. All right, let's go to Lindsay from Tucson, and she's calling, listening on the internet there. So, Lindsay, welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I just really appreciate all that you guys do, and I've learned so much on New Life TV, so just appreciate everything that you guys provide. I do have quick question, though. So I recently became married. I got married a couple of months ago. We dated for about a year. And what I didn't know until I got married, actually on my honeymoon, I found out that my husband is actually an alcoholic.
How did you find out that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. So you know what? I found out on our cruise when there was alcohol there. I started seeing that he was choosing that over me. On our honeymoon, and then even just with job changes, I saw that how he was handling his coping skill is alcohol. Mm-hmm. I started questioning how much is too much, and actually ended up getting into Al-Anon. I've been in Al-Anon for about a month, which has helped
you.
Me learn more. Yeah,
good.
So that has
That's
been
great.
Really, really good. You know, the hard part is that you know, I was single for many, many years, and so I'm kind of starting fresh again. And the challenge is that, you know, he just doesn't take responsibility for things. He seems to, when he gets mad, he gets really mad, and that's part of, I know, the alcohol. He won't talk, you know, for a couple of days, which just eats me up, you know, makes my stomach hurt. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
But I also am trying to look at my part, and my part is expectations. I realize that's probably an opportunity for me. I've talked to him about going to counseling, but we have a great marriage, so why would we go to counseling? You know, everything is great. But I will tell you, I'm scared. I mean, I lived with an alcoholic for 15 years, and I got that marriage ended, and I took my life back, and life was good, and now I'm back in that situation I feel like again, and so it's a very scary place. So two questions I have. The interesting thing is I did mention the intimacy and marriage workshop to him,
mm-hmm.
and he won't go to counseling, but he'll go to that. So he is willing to go to Dallas in a couple of weeks to go to that. My concern is that he's an introvert. He doesn't like church group things. So I did let him know there's some group things, and he seems to be okay with it. So first question is would you recommend the intimacy and marriage workshop to newlyweds? And then my second question would be, in Al-Anon, I'm learning about detachment with love. And so what advice would you have for someone who's trying to learn how to detach?
Well, first of all, don't do anything to discourage him from doing anything that might produce something good. We have people that are resistant all the time. You know, one person wants to be there, the other doesn't, and we'll do what we can with him. So I wouldn't, I mean, if he says, "I'll go to that," then that go, that's what you've got to work with. The other thing is that just telling an alcoholic, go get some counseling, you know, that's never going to be enough unless you are sure that the counselor he goes to would be someone like Alice, who specializes in addiction, and they would, you know, work on a couple of things for 2 or 3 weeks, and then eventually they're going to say at some point, okay, we got to get some help for you. This counseling that I'm doing here will be great for you after you get through getting treatment or alongside your AA involvement and working the steps. So, Sherry, what do you think? I mean, do you think the intimacy intensive is the right thing or at this time or what?
I think it could really work if you're willing to be honest in a group. If you go and you hide his alcohol use and you hide how that scares you, you'll waste your money. You're going to need to come and come prepared to be honest, because there are going to be a therapist in your group and other couples that may help wake him up. He's in denial over his addiction. And so he needs to be woken up right now. So I'm gonna disagree a little bit with the timing of the detachment, because I think if we detach with love, sometimes what happens is we just like let our hands go off the steering wheel. And this is a time for you to be brave. It's a time for you to press into truth telling. And a weekend like the intimacy weekend with New Life would be a way where you could press in and share and bring your own heart, bring your own fear about what's going on. How did you not see this? This is, I'm sure all our listeners were going, wow, she sounds like a nice gal and she was married to another alcoholic. How did she not see the signs of this when they were dating for a year?
That's a great question. I would go out to dinner and it was just a glass of wine. You know, it was just one glass. And so
let me tell you why, because it's an important part of your journey. So I was married to a man who didn't use alcohol, but he used pornography. And when I was dating again, it's almost like a man saying, well, I use a little bit of porn. I use a little bit of porn every now and then. And if I would have tolerated that, it would have, without asking, without probing, without going deeper, it would have shown signs of my own denial. So it's important, as I'm talking to you and others, that we ask. And was it too scary for you to ask? How much do you drink? How often do you drink? How long have you been drinking? Or did you go there?
I did go there. I did go there, and it was always, oh, it's just, you know, wine is healthy for you. It's good. And it was kind of dismissed.
Okay.
Al-Anon has helped show me, though, that, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic home. So I think part of my journey is it was normal.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm learning in Al-Anon.
Well,
it's not normal.
He's still dismissing. Yeah. He's telling you have a great marriage. You need to get honest. You need to get honest, my dear, and come to the weekend and get honest in community with him.
We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Dallas September 22nd to the 24th.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and I tell you, no matter what you've been through, you have to get specific help in divorce recovery so you don't end up in that same situation again. You know, the last thing in the world that you'd think would happen, it often happens, and I feel so bad about it. I'm hoping we're going to get to see this couple at the Marriage Intensive, and I hope that maybe you, if you're in a struggle of some kind, you would consider coming. It's this Friday. And you can still get in. It's in Dallas. I'll be there. Mylon and Kay will be there. It'll be an amazing time. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hey, what do you want to send her for a book? What would be good as a pre-read? Maybe Take Your Life Back?
I think that would, I mean, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's about feeling like you're worthy to defend your own value and be your own decider. And you be the one that develops the good things in your life, no matter what the other people do. Also, her whole life has been a reaction to alcohol and alcoholism. And we want her
exhausting.
To go from a reactive life to a responsive life. Final caller here, but hold on. We're going to stay right here for the remainder of the calls that are on there. Susan, Cleveland, Ohio, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, how are you? How could we help you today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. How do I deal with the anger and betrayal I feel towards friends, my pastor, and the church for offering so much grace to my former husband, even though he has never repented for the behaviors that led to our divorce?
Oh, yeah. And so you feel like, you know, they took his side almost, kind of. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you could not have called a better program, because guess what? When it happened to me, I felt the same way.
Yep.
Until I realized something. God was on her side. Isn't that wild? God is on your husband's side. You know, you feel like if somebody's still in relationship with the other person, that they're on their side, and. And then one day it just hit me. God is on her side, and God is on your husband's side. Now, he's on your side too. But see, they're really kind of expressing grace that God wants expressed to him, hoping that that might motivate him to do something better with his life, versus them take a total place of he's the bad guy, he's horrible, no redemptive value. It's hard what you're going through, but I've been there. I felt all that stuff you're feeling, and I hope me saying this might help you see that people don't want to reject the other person, whoever they are, whatever they've done. They want to see them come back into a healing relationship with God. I think if you ask every one of those people, I bet they'd say, I'm hoping one day he comes to you and says, I'm so sorry for what I did. They're not saying to him, Forget about her. It doesn't matter what you did to her. We're your best friend. We love you. Let's have a good time. That's kind of what you can get in your head, and it's not that way. Alice, any thoughts here on this?
Yeah, Steve, because Susan, I have a question for clarification, because I think Steve is referring to a healthy grace that we need to offer to all sinners, as we all are. But I'm also wondering, because I've dealt with this in many situations with my patients too, where an unhealthy acceptance or even a blindness to the sin that was committed is the attitude of the church, the pastor, and the friends. Could you help us clarify a little?
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Like,
that
what
wouldn't
did
be
he
good.
Give us just three words. What did he did? We don't have much time, but give us the three top things that what led to divorce.
Adultery, number one. Emotional and verbal abuse, number two. And he's a narcissist.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Your husband cleans up well, and that's part of where it feels insane to you, is this has been a long-term issue because of his narcissism. And so you're actually upset that somebody can do these behaviors but clean up well, and then everybody just goes along with it because he, on the outside, looks like such a nice guy. And it can create this insidiousness in us as we go, really? If you only knew what happened behind the scenes. And that can actually move into a spirit of bitterness in us. His narcissism can play into a spirit of bitterness if we don't deal with that bitter root in our heart. But
they
I don't know
what happened in the
I want you to know. We get it. And it's that crazy making as he makes his way socially. But Alice, back to you. I don't want to take the
Susan, Sherry is right on the mark with this. And I think when we're the ones that are in your situation, we have to do a couple of things to protect ourselves. Sometimes the people that you're referring to are healthy enough to have conversations with us about this, where we help them see a little more clearly what was actually happening. And then perhaps a pastor or a friend changes their mind. But at other times, people can be so blinded or maybe even afraid of it. And so they just want to accept it or ignore it, turn that blind eye to it. And then you're left in a very lonely, isolated place. And if you stay there, that bitterness will be toxic to you. And so I would highly recommend that if first you try to have a conversation with these people to express what you're going through. Okay, you have, and it sounds like it hasn't worked.
Right.
Okay. So then I think you find other healthy people, and it might be a different church. It might be a different pastor, unfortunately, different friends who can understand what you're going through and be there with you in your anger, to stick with you as you express it and understand you without criticizing you or minimizing what you have been through. Because I think what you've been through is devastating. And the response of the pastor and the church added to the devastation. So you'll really need to be in a safe place with safe people to be able to work through your understandable and justifiable anger. And these may not be the safe people to do that with.
Yeah. But just remember, they don't know the whole story. They do want the best for him, and he has really looked not that bad to them. And it's so very hard. And I feel for you. Oh my goodness. I just could not believe some of the people and their attitude, and it really hurt deeply. Let me send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, and I wish I had more time for you. I also would just beg for you to go to Take Your Life Back. That would be a place where you could truly learn. I'll send that book to you also about not having to react to this, because you don't have to react to this. You don't have to feel this for the rest of your life. We're just about out of time. The Marriage Intensive, it's coming this Friday in Dallas. I want you to be there. We would love to have you there. Mylon and Kay and I will do the very best we can. Please come and join us. If you can support our ministry, you know, the people, what they pay, it doesn't cover all the costs of this. But if you can support our ministry, you're supporting marriages staying together, not just staying together, but having the marriage that God intended it to be. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I've got a CD. Henry did a teaching on two things: embracing the negative and getting back up. And I'll send that to you. Our way of saying thank you for supporting a ministry that believes in the power of truth to transform somebody's life. And boy, do we ever believe in that power of truth. And also, you know, God wants us in redemptive relationship. And if yours aren't, let us help you. Take a look at Psalm 34:18 too. It, you know, there's a lot of hope and help and healing in God's truth and in redemptive relationship. We'll help you find both. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And help us if you can. It's the same number. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.